gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. Please stand by. The Stephanie Miller Show is experiencing technical difficulties. John Fugelsang, can you hear me by any chance in the New York Bureau?
I can't hear you at all yet. No, okay. I can hear you from another speaker down the hall. And the guys who know how to do this are not here right now, and I've set things on fire.
Wow. Okay, how did you just say, you hear me, say, can you hear me? Okay.
You might have to turn my mic off.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You know what? We'll figure this out. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau.
Because he just said that he could hear you on a speaker down the hall, which is really weird.
Well, go do the show from down the hall then. All right. Happy Friday, everybody. Woohoo! It's a big, sexy, liberal weekend. John Fugelsang, we will get this fixed. See, if I were there with my butt crack pants and my tools, I'd be able to fix it all up. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com is the Sexy Liberal website. We are very, very excited. We are off to Chicago. I'm off to Chicago today.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something weird. I packed in advance. What are the chances of that? It is Gay Pride weekend, Taste of Chicago weekend, and John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and I will be at the Chicago Theater tomorrow night, backed up by the Chicago Blues All-Stars, ladies and gentlemen. It's going
to
be
106 miles to Chicago.
People are coming from far and wide.
We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes.
To witness the progressive comic genius of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show.
It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
And now, they're coming to Chicago.
Chicago. Hit it.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex.
On June 25th, Chicago's Gay Pride Weekend, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Chicago's favorite deep dish, Stephanie Miller, will bring their quick-witted liberal wisdom to the historic Chicago Theater.
This is going to be golden.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Come to the show that conservatives don't want you to see. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Do it with pride.
Bitch, the Chicago one.
Uh-huh. Very, very exciting. So we will see tomorrow night. You know, that's that theater, Chicago Theater, Chris?
Hmm?
Is it? I don't. It's big. It's like 2,600 seats or something like that. And I think there are only very few tickets left. Last I heard yesterday, so get them fast. We'll see you tomorrow night. Partay.
That's
and
right.
And then Hal and John and I will be broadcasting the Gay Pride Parade on Sunday for WCPT, our fabulous Chicago affiliate. We will be at the Center on Halsted, where some of the proceeds from Sexy Liberal are going. Oh, I bet you that's John Fugelsang saying. Hello, John!
Hi, kids. How are you?
There you are.
We'll
figure out our little hookup. But in the meantime...
Okay. We're all the elves are running around trying to fix the workshop.
Yeah, all right. We'll figure it out. Are you excited about Chicago, my sexy liberal friend?
I'm so excited about the sexiest city in America, and that we're going... And it makes it all the less painful that you seem to have broken something when you were here in the studio 2 weeks ago.
That was me. That's what happened.
They're
there.
Blaming you. They're saying you left some quaaludes around and somehow some pills lodged in a deck somewhere, and now the mics don't work. So sorry about that.
Sorry about that. We'll figure it out. So John Fugelsang, thanks for all the ass shots from the Minneapolis show. Those are up at sexyliberal.com and sexyliberal Facebook.
Am I lying? They look good. My God, woman.
Were you just directly behind me the whole show? I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, there's a giant scrim behind the stage, and I realized during Hal said that if I walked behind it, I could get really cool shots of everybody on stage with the whole giant teeming throngs of thousands, and what a gorgeous theater it was in Minneapolis.
Yes, we had a grand time. A good time was had by all.
Your butt looks fantastic. I'm proud of
this. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for the ass cam. I appreciate it.
The implants worked. The implants worked. Congrats.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. All right. We have a big show coming up. MSNBC's Richard Wolf, whom we love. Jennifer Palmieri of the Center for American Progress. A big Friday pre-Sexy Liberal weekend. All right. So what else was I going to... Oh, by the way, we made Newsbusters again. What did we do, Chris? What did I do this time?
Oh.
But then, John, you and I, we're very good at this media whoring. You know, when you got a Twitter fight with Andrew Breitbart, who just said, you, John, which I love.
Yeah, what a guy.
That's all he had. Yeah. So now we've dragged in several organizations. Stephanie Miller Show makes Newsbusters, then Mediaite defends me. Thank you, Mediaite.
Mediaite was awesome in their defense.
Thank you, Mediaite.
Yeah, they were fair and reasoned.
Yeah, it is amazing, John, what they do over there. The non-stories, they blow up on the other, over on the right.
It is true.
Yeah, what is this? Let's see. Oh, I see. They dragged my sexuality into it.
Yes, okay. They did.
How did they do? I didn't even hear about this.
Yes, Newsbusters, former closeted gay. Stephanie Miller spreads rumor of Rick Perry as closeted gay. I didn't. Politico wrote a story about
it. That's right.
You talked about everyone's talking about it all week.
Thank
my
you.
God, that's, as opposed to all the present closeted gays in the GOP.
Yes. Jack Coleman. Hello, Jack. Hello. He wrote this piece. Let's see. What does he say here? But that's okay because Miller's a liberal radio talker and Perry is a conservative governor. Hence, whatever it takes to demean Perry. Oh, see, only they think saying you're gay is demeaning.
That's
see,
right.
See, I don't mean it as demeaning because I am gay.
It's not demeaning at all.
In fact, I've never been demeaning in case even before I talked about my own private life. Okay. Just saying, FYI, I've been a champion of gay rights all my life. All right.
And you were talking about the story.
And out to my friends and family or whatever. I just didn't talk about it on the radio, for God's sakes. I got your closet radio.
Yeah, but you still voted for Reagan.
A long time ago.
Oh, Chris.
That's the thing in my closet I don't want anyone to know. Shush!
The difference here is Stephanie seceded from the closet. Rick Perry wants to secede from America.
There you go.
All right, give me my... this is entertaining, so give me some entertaining music to get through this. Let's see. All right, so this is Newsbusters. Hence, whatever it takes to demean Perry is justified, even if Miller loses her honor in the process. Oh, please. Like, I never had any honor to lose. That's one nice thing. Thank you, Newsbusters. I wasn't aware I had any honor to lose. I lost that long ago. Miller, you may recall, told her listeners in August 2010 that she's a lesbian. Having made this particular leap, Miller apparently wants Republican politicians she suspects of being gay to come out of the closet of well. What? No, I don't. Politico wrote a piece on rumors about Rick... What's his... Good hair. Governor Good Hair. Here's a clip of Miller and two of her coat catchers.
What's a coat catcher?
Just...
You know, I got called a coat catcher?
I don't think you've ever been called that.
I've never.
You've been called a lot of things.
Yes.
Mm. And your other coat catcher isn't even here yet. So there's my coat on the floor. No one was going to catch it until Jim gets here. Here's a clip of Miller and two of her coat catchers taking part in a saute voice whispering campaign designed to knock Perry down a peg just in case he jumps into the presidential race and poses a threat to Dear Leader. Oh, I see. It's a communist thing because Obama's our dear leader.
That's right.
Because we're clearly...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, Chris, they helpfully provide a transcript. Miller, is he... can I just say you two are the ones that get me in trouble?
Why?
Miller, is he Rush Limbaugh making fun of people's looks? Oh, this was in Right Wing World.
When he said that Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan looked like aliens.
Thank you. Chris Lavoie. Looks, yes, Rush Limbaugh, of all people. Miller, who better suited to do that? That's funny. Okay, wow, I'm not really sure if that was sexist or just mean. Lavoie, all of the above. Miller, all right, Well, I didn't add much there, did I?
No.
Ward, and how does that relate to Rick Perry? I don't know, what? Lavoie, he's Limbaugh claiming that liberals are all saying that Rick Perry looks like an alien. Ward, I never heard that. Lavoie, I've never heard that either. He's pulling Miller. If he, Perry, turns out to be gay, Rush won't be friends with him. Lavoie, noted homosexual Rick Perry. Miller, no, we don't know that for sure yet, Politico. Yeah, see, you're the problem.
What'd I do?
You're the one that said, no, see? And then I get dragged.
I said it. I obviously said it in a very satirical and sarcastic tone.
I slapped you down, as is notated here in Newsbusters. No, we don't know that for sure yet, Politico. Politico having run a story on possible re-airing of rumors about blah, 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 blah. Okay, so then Mediaite, thank you, Mediaite, comes to my rescue. Rick Perry, gay rumors spark Stephanie Miller / Rush Limbaugh / Politico war of words. See, John, this is my special skill. As you may have gotten to a big fight with Andrew Breitbart, but I pulled several media organizations into this with me. Oh, we've lost John on the phone now as well.
That's right.
I wondered where he was. All right, we'll get all this fixed by next segment. All right, so Mediaite writes, Texas Governor Rick Perry seems to have a bit of a Charlie Crist problem, at least according to this week's Politico article, drumming up old rumors the blah, blah, blah might be gay. The article already on the lips of several political commentators. Hello! Notably, liberal talk radio host Stephanie Miller, who wondered whether Rush Limbaugh's support would dwindle if rumors were true. The comment landed her in hot water with conservatives, naturally, who turned the spotlight on her own sexuality and her choice to bring up Perry's. I didn't bring it up!
Politico
brought
did.
It up!
We were just reporting on the news story.
This is my whole point. Only the right wing thinks that's a smear.
Yeah.
conservative watchdog Newsbusters immediately accused Miller of spreading the rumor that Perry's gay, though while being the one to bring up the Politico article, Miller very clearly states that she sees no evidence to believe that. They go on to speculate as to whether Miller would have been comfortable with that joke before coming out. What? Are they going in the Wayback Machine? What? Miller used the story only to highlight what she perceives as Limbaugh's homophobia. Yes! For which there's a lot of evidence. An entirely different argument altogether, but never suggested she believed the rumors, nor did her co-host, whose fake newscaster voice, that's you, may have even been a Limbaugh impression of how he would talk about Perry if he were gay, or more likely just a throwaway comment, definitively out Perry. Newsbusters Jack Coleman's issue with the clip from Miller's show appears to be that while she was permitted to stay in the closet until she was ready to come out, she should give the same respect, which I do! I'm sorry. This just got stuck in my craw a little bit, didn't it?
Apparently.
First of all, by defending Perry from Miller's quote-unquote outing, it is Coleman who is assuming that the governor is in the closet.
Right.
Thank you! Secondly, Miller did not opine on whether she wants people to come out of the closet or not. Miller only accused Limbaugh of homophobia, blah, blah, blah. Did not comment on Perry. In fact, Miller goes out of her way to tell Politico to hold their horses on this one. To raise the specter of hypocrisy at Miller because she happens to be gay doesn't exactly tackle the key problem that arises in even bothering to address these rumors as if they had any impact on Rick Perry's political figure that has the power of blah, blah, blah. Mediaite finishes by saying, using her personal life as a weapon against her to defend Rush Limbaugh from completely unrelated claims that Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor look like aliens, does nothing but perpetuate the desire for such personal talk in the national discourse and diminish the possibility of worthwhile political debate. Thank you, Mediaite. You complete me. You had me. Well, they didn't have me at hello. They had me at
Stephanie Miller.
Because when they mention my name, everything's good.
That's when the Google News Alert goes off.
Yes, yeah. And everything's good. Yeah. Thank you, Mediaite. Do we link to that so you can read it if you
I'll
want?
I'll put a link to it up at your Facebook page.
God in heaven, a little hysterical on the right, aren't they?
Yes.
Good God. Everybody settle. Everybody settle. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Right, we'll find John Fugelsang. It will be Fridays with Fugelsang if it kills me.
Will it?
Yes, we will be back with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller
okay.
Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. John, are you there?
I think I am.
Yay! Hallelujah. Yahoo!
We fixed it all by ourselves.
It just started working randomly. Who are we kidding?
I just kind of hit panel buttons on the panel till it began working.
Good.
Hi. Yay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good. You're like a trained chimp. Goodbye. Good job. Okay. It will be all 3 hours of Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau with Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
Phew.
Off to Chicago for the big sexy liberal show tomorrow night at Chicago Theater. All right.
Featuring the Chicago Blues All-Stars, our live house band tomorrow night.
I'm having dinner with my friend Dr. Dan tonight in Chicago, who is in the Chicago Blues All-Stars. And I told you his story, right?
I think so, but tell the crowd.
Well, speaking of sexy liberals, he was my old radio producer, so not everybody is just a ne'er-do-well coat catcher.
Mm-hmm. Like me.
He is now a famous orthopedic surgeon in Chicago, Chicagoan of the year. He does surgery for anybody that needs it, even if they don't have insurance. He goes to Haiti. He's amazing.
He's got the blues.
Yeah, he's 7 feet tall. He played professional basketball for a while. His friend was shot when he was a bouncer in a nightclub after their playing days. And Dr. Dan's helping him walk again with all this, you know, fancy experimental orthopedic stuff. He's been on all over
awesome.
Television. He's just awesome. All right. Oh, by the way, he sent me the email, Chris, because I've been in radio since
1904.
Well, I told Marconi. I gave him the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but so Dr. Dan used to be my producer when we still had to edit tape with a razor blade.
Yeah.
And one time he was putting a demo tape together after I got...
You're fired.
Fired in Chicago so I can get another radio job.
Yes.
And we still to this day laugh. This is in, like, 1980 Flurkin. He lost a B. He lost a B. I was saying someone's name. I think it was Betty Buckley. It was an interview that I did.
And he
lost the B. And it was like 3 in the morning, and we both were crawling around in the studio looking for the B because he made the edit in the wrong place.
Oh,
ironic
wow.
that he grew up to be such a famous
surgeon.
Orthopedic surgeon. And that. So anyway, I'm staying right near the old studio, so we're going to go look for the B. I'm going to go look for that piece of tape. All right.
Oh, wow. That's how much coke Steph did in the 80s. Yeah. That's why they had all those razor blades around, not for the tape.
That's why I had to get a new nose. I got a new nose in Chicago. Yeah,
it wasn't because you look like an Armenian man. It's because you did all that coke in the 80s.
Ooh, I had that frizzy 80s hair and the original nose. Yikes. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, everyone. First of all, I know, Steph, it wasn't you that was calling Rick Perry gay. Some people say that he's gay.
Exactly. Politico did an article on it. That's all I was saying.
Some people, the same way as some people say Sarah Palin's actually using this bus tour as a family vacation and a write-off.
What?
Some people say.
Yeah, well, she quit that, too, so it didn't matter.
And she started out the bus tour on a motorcycle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
I'll see you in Chicago, Steph, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, honey. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. She quit? She quit.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, then she criticized the media again for pointing out that she quit something again.
Yeah,
she quit the
bus
tour.
Well, there you go. Also, too, that mainstream media. There you go again. She got. She said she got jury duty.
Yeah, she quit the bus tour for jury duty, and she quit being governor for some reason.
Now, is that jury duty in Alaska, or is it in Arizona? She lives in many places. Where could that jury duty be?
I'm guessing it's in Alaska, the state she dreams of leaving.
I love this story. Sarah Palin is becoming the Paris Hilton of the GOP.
Yeah.
Becoming.
It seemed unremarkable, as U.S. News and World Report, seemed unremarkable at first that Sarah Palin would abandon her much-subsidized family vacation / presidential exploratory tour halfway through. After all, that's how she approached her commitment to the governorship. Now Palin tells us the real reason. She's been called back home for jury duty, and in true Palin form, the former half-turned governor used the speculation about her abbreviated trip to slam the media.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. What amazes her, the media would follow her around when she emblazons a bus with the Alaska landscape and the title One Nation Tour, thinking maybe this means it's not just a private family vacation. Who advertises their private vacation on the side of their traveling vehicles except people who are either running for office or want other people to believe that they are?
And to a political action committee website.
Yes. Could it have something to do with the fact that Palin's political action committee was soliciting donations for the family trip, as the Washington Post reported? Palin is becoming the Paris Hilton of the Republican Party, famous for being famous, pulling stunts to get attention and then complaining about the attention that she's getting.
Yep.
Thank you, U.S. News and World Report. That's exactly the way I saw it.
Yeah, Sarah doesn't have to worry. The press will be leaving her alone for a long time very soon.
Oh, God, one would hope so. Seriously.
You really think that?
Mm-hmm. I really do, because what is she? She's not running for president. I mean, Fox News took Gingrich and Santorum off the payroll 2 months ago. Sarah Palin not taken off the Fox payroll. She's not running.
Yeah. You know, can I just say, sometimes the comedy just writes itself, whether it's Sarah Palin or Paul Ryan having an Eddie Munster fit and wanting Ginny will not go to the budget meeting.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go! I won't! I won't! You can't beat me! You can't!
What are the chances we would have a clip of Eddie Munster throwing
always
a fit?
Funny. Always funny.
A little Paul Ryan tantrum. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, MSNBC's Richard Wolf next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mom says you'd make a great Florida whore. What does that mean?
What?
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. All 3 hours. We are always so thrilled and delighted to have the author of Renegade, The Making of a President, Revival, The Struggle for Survival Inside the Obama White House. And now, his most recent book, Revival 2.0, How the Obama White House is Making Its Political Comeback.
And you know what? That book is 99 cents.
At eBooks.
Yes.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah.
And Richard Wolf is here for 99 cents as well. Hello, Richard Wolf.
I'm almost insulted by how cheap I am. But, I'm good. I'm great.
At least you're not a Florida whore like me, and I don't even know what that means, Richard.
I think that's more than 99 cents, my
friend.
Yes. You said Florida.
Yeah. So, Richard, let's talk first about Afghanistan and how that's playing on the left and right. What is your take on that?
Well, I think politics has shifted a lot. We are not in the post 9/11 world anymore. We're in a pre-Bush, post-Bush world, which means that the Republican position has changed dramatically. I don't know that the Democrats have changed a huge amount here, except for that kind of attempt to be and sound like Bush in the year or two after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And what you've got is the president out there in the middle, which is where he wants to be. So people are unhappy with him on both sides that actually, if you can be happy about anything in terms of the politics of war and something that awful, that's where he wants to be. And if there are people out there who say, you know, he really wants to fight this war for longer, they don't really hear what he's saying. This is a president who does not have confidence in the general strategy moving forward. He knows the troops can make a difference on the ground, but they're not handing things over to anything like a credible Afghan government, either at the regional or national level, which means this is the beginning of the end. There is an end point he's defined. It may not happen as quickly as people want it to do, but, you know, there are all sorts of factors. It's not that easy that you can just – I love these polls that say people want the troops out immediately.
Right.
You can't take troops out immediately. You can't move 100,000 troops with all the support and all their equipment out immediately. It takes time. He is taking a cautious approach to withdrawal. That's probably a good thing. You know, he got bin Laden. He probably kind of has figured this whole war thing out.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Richard. I talked to Representative Adam Smith yesterday, who, you know, whose opinion I respect. He's, you know, on obviously one of the committees there. Because I, you know, as a liberal, I tend to think, too, God, you know, we got bin Laden. There's not much al-Qaeda there. Why can't we just get out?
Right.
But, you know, he did, you know, give me an interesting perspective I hadn't heard before exactly, and just that it isn't just about al-Qaeda. You know, but he also did point out that, you know, the mission that got bin Laden came from Afghanistan. You know, if we hadn't been in Afghanistan, you know, the special op wouldn't have been
right.
And also he just said it's also about just the country not descending into chaos and the Taliban completely taking over again.
You know what really though, we don't care if Afghanistan falls into complete chaos again. We care about al-Qaeda, and actually what we really care about is Pakistan not being a failed state. The question is, moving forward, is the best way to stop al-Qaeda taking and its affiliates taking over Pakistan, a nuclear-armed state, strategically extremely important, is the best way to do that with 100,000 troops in a neighboring country, or is there a different way to do it? And there is a different way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that kind of footprint. It can actually be counterproductive. We're always going to reserve the right to go out and bomb the crap out of a hillside or anything that looks like an insurgent al-Qaeda-type figure. We do it in Somalia. We do it in Yemen. And we don't have anything like that kind of troop number there, that cost, that risk, and that's what's going to continue in Afghanistan. But if the play here is really about Pakistan, then that requires a very different strategy. And I think, you know,
Richard,
if this president gets a second term, that's what he's going to be looking at.
Richard, you obviously have unparalleled access to the White House. I mean, first of all, this is sort of Joe Biden winning this argument, isn't it, about that these special ops, are the way to go?
Counterterrorism, not counterinsurgency, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Because in the end, the Taliban are actually Afghans, and al-Qaeda was distinct because they were mostly foreigners, and you're talking about a very small number of people now, you know, 20 or 30 people that we want to get. They're on the run. Again, you don't need 100,000 troops to try and get 20 people.
Right. Richard, I know the new book includes the president's reaction to the killing of Osama bin Laden. What was it? What was it like?
Well, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people who are very, very close to him said they had no idea what he was doing. And frankly, it even freaked them out. The fact that he could hide this from them and be so emotionally unperturbed by what was going on before and during. And afterwards, they said the striking thing was the first flash of emotion they got from him was not about bin Laden being dead or about the tension or the pressure or anything else. It was the press reaction to saying, who knew this guy could be so bold? Who knew that he had it in him to do this kind of thing? And specifically a column by E.J. Dionne, you know, a liberal, progressive columnist in the Washington Post, who said, we never knew that this man could make bold moves like this. And his reaction was, what do you mean they don't know I was bold? You know, what about health care? What about the recovery?
Exactly.
And it's really, to me, I think it's really striking that what finally gets a rise out of this guy not the pressures of national security, not the secrecy, not the fact that his whole legacy and everything and reputation and history too was in jeopardy. It was this idea that people were underestimating him and thinking that he was weak and pathetic.
Yeah. I, you know what,
and
I just am reading...
That's what gets under his skin.
I'm reading a piece right now about Tom Hanks saying he's the president has not only lived up to his expectations but expanded them. He said, if you would have told me a few years ago that Don't Ask, Don't Tell would be repealed, about a billion jobs at General Motors and Chrysler's would have been saved because the president was smart enough and strong enough and bold enough to do so, I would have said, wow, that's a good president. I think I'll vote for him again. So, you know, and obviously, Richard, you and I have talked a lot before. You know, I should kind of share that, that I think that's fairly historic. Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the START Treaty. I mean, I really feel he's achieved a lot.
By any measure, Reagan, Clinton, Bush, this man has achieved an enormous amount. You may not agree. You may think he was misdirected, if he didn't do enough. But you can't say he didn't do anything or he didn't do anything bold or big. So, you know, you can say his economic policies weren't on track, but $800, $900 billion of Recovery Act spending, that meant hundreds of billions of dollars went into the pockets of people who needed the help. People who needed Medicaid, people who needed unemployment benefits. They got another round with the tax deal that I know a lot of progressives didn't like, but unemployment insurance was extended for people who really need it. So, you know, yeah, there aren't enough jobs, but he's put a lot of effort and a lot of political capital, a lot of his reputation in helping the people at the bottom of the scale. And again, compare it. I hear Al Gore saying he didn't do enough on the environment. If he didn't have two wars to unwind, getting bin Laden, pulling the economy out of the worst recession in living memory, the environment would have been right up there. And there's only so much that a president can do in 3 years.
Yeah.
The stimulus package was great for the environment, too.
There was a huge amount of green investment, which even to this day, a lot of Republicans say was a complete waste of money and a boondoggle for all sorts of vested interests. When you look at the kind of investments they made, for instance, in advanced battery technology, the reason we have these new electric cars coming on the market that Al Gore probably has a whole fleet of, it is because of Recovery Act investment.
Yep.
So, yes, there was no cap and trade. There was no big international agreement that we all wanted to see happen, and the president wanted to see happen too. But again,
obviously you've heard Krugman and others argue that the stimulus should have been bigger. I mean, how do you improve the economy now? Obviously, the Republicans, are hanging this economy on Obama now, and show that seems to be sticking to some degree. How do you do this now with a Republican Congress that won't give you any more stimulus? What does he do on the economy?
The problem with the economy is not tax rates, it's not regulatory burden, it's not stimulus spending. It's that big corporations are sitting on piles of cash, and they're acting like their own banks. They're still living in fear that there's going to be another crash, that credit lines will be taken back, and that's what the big break on investment, specifically hiring. At some point, shareholders have to go out and say to them, that's a really inefficient way to use our cash. You should not be sitting on cash. You should be spending it or returning it back, investing it, or give it back to the shareholders. But sitting on it is no good for anyone.
Right. No.
And that's not what a president can do. Honestly, that's a factor of psychology after the worst recession in living memory. So, he's got to make a political argument that tax cuts for the deficit, the Bush tax cuts, have got to expire for people making more than a certain amount of money, however we define that. But, that's about deficit. That's not about the economy right now.
No, I mean, none of their arguments make sense. They're like, all these regulations, it's killing Wall Street. I mean, Wall Street was at like 8,000 under Bush? It's 12,000 now. I mean, let's talk.
They had all their regulations cut all those years, and what happened? They took us into the biggest financial meltdown we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So
Richard,
regulations were not the problem.
Let's talk about, it's Gay Pride Month, obviously, a big vote going on in New York. The president just spoke. He said they should keep up the fight for equality, but obviously stop short of embracing same-sex marriage. Where do you think he goes with that in the 2012 campaign? I mean, is he going to, do you think
think
he will come out in favor,
He should come out in many ways. I think he's in danger of looking out of date and behind the curve here. And his natural state of caution on these questions, this isn't 2004, it's not 2000. The kind of formative experiences about how the Bush people use this as a wedge. He can see the numbers as well as anyone else. He knows getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell through was one of the highlights of his entire presidency for him. And so I expect he will change. He needs to show a little backbone and do it before the election, not after it.
But how much Richard, let me, sorry, we only have a very short time. David Axelrod and David Plouffe, who you have
yep.
access to, have talked to you about campaign strategy for 2012. What is it? Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. They believe that the people who voted for Obama in 2008 are a different kind of voter. They may not ever engage with another candidate. They have to reconnect with those people, and they really rely on demographics here. They see big demographic changes in the numbers, and that's not them smoking something. These are real census numbers and things you can track. In states like North Carolina, which most of us in the media in Washington have said, you're not really going to make that, they think North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia are where this election is going to be fought out, as well as all the traditional battlegrounds. But, you know, big rise in African-American voters, lots of Latino voters, but specifically younger voters, higher educated voters. This is the kind of model they took before. If they win by a significant margin this time next year, it's going to be because of the work they do right now, getting those people fired up, getting them registered, and it's all that planning work they've got to do right now. So demographics, different kinds of voters, as it was in 2007, if you're just looking at the polls, their argument is you're missing the real story. And, you know, they did it once, so you cannot completely discount that argument.
Richard, who do you think is going to be the nominee on the Republican side before we let you go?
I think it's going to be a populist. I think it's either going to be Rick Perry or Sarah Palin.
No!
Someone who's not in the race right now. I do not see the Republican Party getting fired up by a cautious establishment figure who can't decide which way is up and what they believed in before and what they believe in now.
Wow.
Someone who's going to take the fight to the president, who's going to attack him in no uncertain terms. That's not Huntsman. It's not Paul Ante. It's not Mitt Romney. It's going to be a populist. Tea Party figure.
All right. Richard Wolff on tape on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So,
we're pulling this out.
Not Bachman.
No, even they have a sense of who was too flaky.
Okay. Wow.
Richard Wolff, author of the new book Revival 2.0, How the Obama White House is Making Its Political Comeback. Thanks so much, Richard. Always such a pleasure.
You bet.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes.
Wow.
Now I'm kind of excited. Rick Perry would be the first gay president, maybe.
What?
Oh, newsbusters. I'm just repeating what Politico reported. Don't, for God's sakes.
No,
there
just,
we go again. It's
just,
Gay Pride Month. I'm a little overly excited.
You're just repeating what people have been whispering in Texas for years.
That's
exactly,
why Politico wrote about it.
Yeah.
How dare I? What, Stephanie Louise?
I want Rick Perry to come out as a guy who sent an innocent man to the electric chair.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
And wants to secede from the union. How about that?
Yeah.
Nobody's mentioning that in their profiles.
How patriotic.
Mm. 48 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays of Fugle Slang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Get on your feet. Get up and make it happen. Get on your feet. Stand up and take some action.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau. Sexy liberal.
Good morning, kids.
Mm-hmm. All 3 hours. And then we will see you tomorrow night in Chicago for the Sexy Liberal Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. George in Indiana. Hi, George.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, baby.
It really bothers me lately, and just all along. We know, okay, let's say it's a given that the Republicans are going to try and crash the economy in order to win back the presidency and maybe the Senate.
No.
That's their job. What? That's their goal. That's what they do. The Democrats need to get on message like they are all the time. Now, the way to save the economy is that which you grow the tax base by creating good-paying, family-supporting jobs. So you pay down the deficit, you save Social Security, and you save Medicare. Now, that has to be the message. That has to be our goal. And even if we're fighting a headwind, if we keep repeating that message, it's got to work. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing, too, real quick, why do they keep misrepresenting the cost of the war? The real cost is like $1 trillion. On the news, you know, the corporate news media reports $400 billion, $380 billion. Come on, let's get real, let's get honest. But all of us have to be on message. I wish I could see the show.
What, tomorrow night?
Oh, he's
gone.
Oh,
gone. Damn. Why not?
I'm deeply offended by that. They're actually trying to gut the economy to destroy government, not to get reelected. Let's get that right.
Exactly. That's just a bonus, getting reelected.
Yeah.
Hey, here's some good news for me, Chris. Will crying at work wreck your career? On the contrary, says new research, it could get you to the top.
Oh, really?
A little peek into our world.
Well,
I don't hold anything back. I am that character in broadcast news at this point, aren't I?
Yes. You lock yourself in your room.
I cry, and then I go on the air, and then I've got... Mama's having some, you know... personal difficulties.
That's what I miss the most about being in the West Coast studio, is seeing Stephanie put the gun in her mouth every morning,
Stop
but never pull the trigger.
New research suggests that alpha...
Well,
I'm like, Steph, your head's in the oven, but you didn't even put the gas on.
Yes, I am having a nervous breakdown. Don't interrupt me. New research suggests...
We have to laugh or we just cry with you.
New research suggests that alpha women might just have more success in the workplace if, rather than behaving like men, they let their softer side show. See? Based on a study of 700 Americans, the book revealed that women cry a lot more than men, but claimed this was not viewed by others as a bad thing. No, Chris, you just endure it and go, just talk now.
Just talk.
Yeah. Let their softer side show. Maybe they should lose some weight,
Another
too.
Surprise was that men were more sympathetic to the idea of crying at work than women. You're not really sympathetic. You're a cold, soulless bastard.
Well, I'm just concerned about getting the show on the air.
Yeah, you don't care.
Yeah.
You just
and
wait
I'm only unsympathetic because it's funny when you're weeping in the office.
And Jim loves it because that's when he hits on me. Because then when you're vulnerable,
that's
when men
strike.
Yeah, he does. Doesn't he cop a feel? Anytime he just comes over and goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And then like suddenly I'm like, that's nipple. Okay, you just hit areola.
There's a sexy victim.
All right.
I'm trying to think of whether I've cried at work ever.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Did
Oops,
I really?
Threw you under the bus.
Did
yep.
I really?
Yep.
Really?
You remember. Okay, let's...
We're going to have to talk about this off the air.
Was it funny,
Steph? I don't know. I'm going to Chicago to have fun this weekend. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, we're going to have such a party.
You gotta go to the Billy Goat.
It's a combination of Gay Pride Weekend and Taste of Chicago. It's a taste of gay.
Exactly.
So you're going to whore it up at Gay Pride?
Yeah, I'm going to eat it.
Yes, it's Gay of Chicago. And it's going to be so much fun between the parade. We're doing a thing for the parade on Sunday, aren't we?
We are actually broadcasting the parade.
For WCPT.
You and Hal and I are broadcasting the from the center on Halsted during Gay Pride Parade. Come by and say hey.
There are still some seats available tomorrow night. You can come with 2,000 of your favorite sexy liberal friends to see the show.
Not many. As of yesterday, I heard 2,600 seats. John, I think there was only about 100 left or something yesterday. Mm-hmm. So this is very, very exciting.
Oh, come on, and even if there are only single seats left... Hey.
It's sexy liberal dating game. Come get some sexy liberal strange. Come on, everybody.
We're handing out roofies at the door, folks.
Exactly. Camellia has sent me an e-card. Sorry the Gay Pride Parade has become more about serious issues and less about giant inflatable penises. Yeah, me too, kind of. Me too. Let's do a liquid cleanse with alcohol. Okay, I'm down with that. You doggy.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what Gay Pride in Chicago is, a liquid cleanse with alcohol.
Oh,
yeah. Seriously.
Cartel.
Yeah. As opposed to New York. Anthony Weiner marched in our parade last year.
Speaking of Illinois, see, you can tell these are my kind of women. A bra allegedly used to vandalize Illinois car. A woman in an argument with her boyfriend Sunday night retaliated by removing the underwire of the bra she was wearing and scratching the boyfriend's vehicle.
That is so brilliant.
Come on. That's a little... Oh, yeah, well...
Wow. That's not something a man could do.
I'm saying it's inventive. You know, if you're trying to make a point during an argument, that's an inventive way to make it.
Yeah, you could kill a guy with the underwire from a bra, couldn't you? You could.
I did once in Reno, just to watch him die.
You don't require an underwire bra.
I do too.
Do you?
You stream. That's look at. Wow. Those are underwires right there.
And Steph also has her 5-point exploding heart technique she uses.
Oh, it's a Friday show. I'm already tired.
You just bounced your boobies to the camera.
What am I, Randy Rhodes? I'm not a Florida whore.
No, she only talks about bouncing her boobies. You actually did it.
I just did it. It was my circus. Enjoy, Ustream. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. Fridays with Fugle saying all 3 hours in the New York Bureau, then on our way to Chicago for the Sexy Liberal Show tomorrow night. Hal Sparks, John Fugle saying, and I. Happy Pride. Happy Pride, everybody. Happy Taste Chicago. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, speaking of Sexy Liberal, Terry and Dylan Beach, John, with some questions for us. Hi, Steph. We're excited about our journey to Detroit for the Sexy Liberal Tour. That one will be with John Fugelsang and Aisha Tyler filling in for Hal in August. When is that one? Hang on, I carried the board, by the way.
Yeah,
August.
At the Opera House.
August 20th. A few tickets left for that one. We're excited about our journey to Detroit. A few questions. Let's see. Will there be adult beverages served? Probably. Will there be a police presence? Don't think so. Are there overhead sprinklers? Don't know. If there's dancing, are there poles? Is underwear optional? Yes, always.
Oh, yeah.
Will our fanny packs be searched? Well, only by John.
They'll be confiscated at the door. It's
John,
a sexy
John does
show.
More groping than most at the meet and greet.
You're not allowed to wear a fanny pack into the sexy liberal audience.
Yeah, because that makes you not
right.
Sexy.
Especially not in England, because...
Fanny well, fanny means
there it's something
thank
else.
You,
there's
Jim.
In England, it's mandatory, Jim.
Jim with some British ass facts.
It's the front. It's not the back.
Oh!
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
Thank you, John Fugelsang, for he was operating the ass cam in Minneapolis, so there's a lot of mama ass pictures up on the Sexy Liberal website and Sexy Liberal Facebook, as far as I can...
And you're so upset about that.
It's just weird. It's like he was like
pictures you approved?
He's like a cameraman / proctologist. He was just right up my ass. Yes.
They're really good pictures.
Thank
Come
you,
on,
John.
Man. I
Thank
think they're
you.
Very artsy.
Thank you. They are.
There are no bad they pictures are. Of Stephanie's ass.
Oh, no, Jim Louise Ward.
Those
I
pictures
love
are
you.
Like they're like a sexy ad for P90X and what it can do for you.
All right. By the way, I just love this headline. I don't know why. Pennsylvania man named Handy Wood charged with exposing himself. What else is one supposed to do with Handy Wood?
Oh,
but
God.
Share it.
That's handy.
That's handy. Look, I would like to share it with you. That is magic.
Wow.
35-year-old Pennsylvania man Handy Henry Wood is actually his name. Handy's first name, Handy Wood.
Handy
Wood. Like a Mr. Rogers character.
Handy Wood. You go blind.
Mr. Handy Wood.
Sounds like a show on Nickelodeon.
Where in the world is Mr. Happy Handy Wood?
Was charged with two recent flashing incidents. Police say Wood exposed himself to a female clerk at a McDonald's drive-thru and parked alongside a woman at a Rite Aid shopping center and flashed her. Or shared his Handy Wood, as it were.
Did you get fried with that?
Yep. He was not supersized.
Oh, come on, that's funny.
That
hey, speaking of wiener...
I'm not going to go anywhere near cheese. That's a little different.
Speaking of wiener, John Fugelsang of Andrew Breitbart Twitter war fame. Breitbart decides he enjoyed Wiener's downfall after all. As you remember, John, in the beginning, he pretended that this was just a grim journalistic duty of his. He did not enjoy this in any way.
He didn't enjoy it at all. That's why he carried around a picture of a man's erect penis in his pocket.
Yes.
What are you insinuating?
Oh, because he's so upstanding, and this is the new respectable Andrew Breitbart.
Then he just gave an address this past weekend, a keynote at the Right Online Conference, and he declared the Wiener saga was three ludicrous, unbelievably joyful weeks, adding, I loved every second of it, Congressman Wiener.
Wow, that's great.
That nice.
I look forward to his campaign against David Vitter next.
Yes. Well, say again how you started the Twitter fight, John. You simply congratulated him.
I didn't even address him. I just wrote, I congratulate Andrew Breitbart for his first successful attack against a non-black person.
Yes.
And that joke kind of got popular, and it came to his attention. And every few months, Andrew likes to attack me on Twitter. And so he just wrote, hey, John, F you. And it's very beautiful to see.
Which is a very strong argument. He seems to have quite a comeback to your...
There's his
maybe
credibility, though.
Actually suggesting something. Maybe he's complimenting you.
He was sexting you.
No,
Jim, he's a very straight man who just happens to carry around a picture of another resurrect penis. Yes. That's all he is.
Yeah.
Very sober man.
A lot of guys do that. They're like baseball trading cards.
Exactly. He's going to teach a workshop on dignity and then a workshop on good, clean living because he's a healthy guy.
Jim was doing his, I don't know what he does, he's sparring with Rick Overton. And I'm sure he has the pictures. No?
Well, sparring?
No. Well, oh, my God. You have a huge bruise on your forearm. Yes.
What do you? What do boys do? What kind of fighting are you doing?
You know, everybody was kung fu fighting.
Oh.
And, you know,
no,
at a certain age, you probably should maybe.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's useful. It's not
Sounds like
fun.
Voice actor
not,
fight club.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's like Fight Club, really?
He's not supposed to talk about Fight
voice
Club.
Voice actor Fight Club.
It's like Comedy Man,
Fight
Club.
No, if a real fight guard, I'd be wearing a cup and a tooth guard, but...
Wow.
Actually, I should wear a tooth guard because if you hold the pad wrong, you can kick
it. Jim and I tend to do unwise things for people of our age. John Fugel saying you can confirm this, that I do way too much physical comedy for a woman of my advanced years.
Yes, I was
I have
say.
Bruises from last weekend in Minneapolis from throwing myself around playing a lesbian constituent and Michelle Bachmann
she broke
in a bathroom.
Hip, folks.
I did.
Broke another hip.
Oh, I've had more hip replacements than my mother at this point. After every other sexy liberal show, I need another one. A Chicago Gay Pride weekend. Who knows
You're
what's going to happen.
Both hips.
And face to Chicago, lunging for a sausage or, you know.
All right. or you could just be Florida whoring around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's dive into the right wing world, shall we, kids? Here we go. All right. Oh, must we?
What?
Rush Limbaugh.
Last night was a campaign speech. What better way to fire up the Democrat base than to announce you intend to lose the war in Afghanistan? That's what the Democrat base wants. Uh-huh. So Obama essentially says, I'm out to lose.
Uh-huh.
And the Democrat base is happy.
No, they're not.
I'm excited about it. You know, what do General Petraeus and Gates, the defense secretary, what do they know? They were both opposed to Obama when he made his gutsy call. Don't you remember that? You know, Hitler's generals tried to argue with him, too.
Wow. How many times, how many shades of wrong is that? First of all,
strategy.
It didn't make the base happy.
I love hearing military strategy from a 5-time draft dodger.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And for anal cysts. That's how he avoided Vietnam. Anal cysts. That's beautiful. Because, of course, Obama wanting to lose the war, we're much better defending a president who just forgot about the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Charles.
Career is. Yeah, I mean, don't think about it much.
Charles Krauthammer on the Ripper.
The president has upped the ante. He's demanding not just one kind of tax increase, but two. A raising of the rates, which is the old story he's talked about in every campaign, eliminating the Bush cuts for the wealthy, and eliminating, well, not just loopholes, but re-eliminating deductions, like deduction for mortgage interest per people over, say, $250,000. Now, that is serious tax hikes.
Can we point out that it's Bush's tax increase?
Yes.
Okay, they were designed to expire in 10 years, and Obama continued them to the detriment of our economy. And Obama was elected by people who wanted him to get rid of those tax cuts?
It's just so tiresome. Did you see that cartoon that all the Republican presidential candidates just yelled, tax cuts, more tax cuts, tax cuts? And John King's like, I haven't asked a question yet.
Yeah.
But that's it. Every single Republican candidate thinks the only way to save our economy is to do exactly what Bush did, but call it something different.
Only more. Okay, Brian Kilmeade of Fox Friends.
Obviously, this calls into question whether or not we should do any more stimulus spending.
Absolutely not, right? There's no sentiment at all on either side of the aisle for stimulus spending at this juncture.
He's a bad news reporter if he's reporting that.
That's just completely wrong.
Yes.
When are we going to stop saving all those jobs?
All right, Glenn Beck on the TV.
We have only 5 shows after this.
Damn it.
And I am picking very carefully what I do on these 5 shows. I want to introduce you to a man tonight that I think will make a difference. I don't pick or choose or back any presidential nominees. However, not many politicians have spine. This man does. Mm-hmm. Joining me now is former Senator and GOP presidential candidate Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
That's picking and choosing carefully. By the way,
Glenn got a little Santorum on his lips, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they kissed each other.
Ew.
Ew. Ooh. Yes.
He's choosing very carefully. That's the A material, Chris. He's been saving this up till the end.
Yeah.
Here, I did this this demonstration last time. You see this on Ustream? This is my stack of stuff for when it's slow news days that I never get to, which we think is what Glenn Beck is. It's kind of seeds and stems at this point.
Yes, it is.
It's just stuff that like got thrown out years ago. Like, yeah, Glenn, that sucks. And now it's just... See, look at this. Can you see that on Ustream? See how old this piece of paper is? Let's see. This is from...
Good Lord. Why is it that color?
The 21st of February, 2008. So it's current. I thought I might get to this at some point. Airline pilots might have slept past their stop in Hawaii.
Yeah. I remember that.
What? Yeah, yes. I remember that mm-hmm. from 3 years ago.
That's what autopilot is for.
I don't even know why I thought that would be funny or why I thought that would even be worthwhile, but
well,
there you go.
Well, that's
if
what
this were the last 5 days
to.
Of the Stephanie Miller Show, that's what you would get.
We're making our final approach at Papa Ete. What? Oh, crap.
Kapa'a.
Kapa'a.
No, no. Papa Ete is...
okay.
Whole
yeah. All right.
You know what I mean.
I understand.
Sure.
All right, Michelle Malkin on the Fox and Friends.
I don't know why they're so upset, yes. the enviros with Obama. If you look
enviros?
At the actual results, he has pandered to the eco-nuts through the Department of Interior. We had a drilling moratorium that has sent so many drillers overseas, destroyed so many jobs.
No.
Out here
why?
In the West, I've talked many times about how mining industry, all sorts of Western industries are suffering under the boot of these eco-zealots. You still have
eco-Nazis.
Lisa Jackson at the EPA, Salazar, as I said, at the Department
what?
Of Interior. Really, what
He's
are they complaining
guy.
About?
Salazar opened up the Gulf for more drilling.
And doesn't the mining industry need
hell?
Less regulation?
Yes.
Ow.
We need to kill more miners.
Salazar is an echo nut.
Huh? What the hell?
Wow.
Oh. We're right. still drilling in the Gulfs. And the last catastrophic spill isn't remotely fixed.
Stephanie?
Okay. Yes?
The chat room would like to know if Carbonite barfed up that pilot story.
Oh. No.
No?
It's on paper. It's still highlighted. Look
really?
At that from years ago.
Okay.
You know what? That's fun. We're going to do some more of Seeds and Stems. Later,
yes. Okay.
Fun. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what
current
else
stories from 2008.
See what else Carbonite can barf up.
Barfonite.
All right. Hey, let's have Michael Savage for dessert.
Today I am saying, speaking of barf, predominantly, that because of the vermin in the media who have filled the sewer pipe of the media from Hollywood to New York, where the sewer pipe emanates, whether it's
yikes.
Pill Griffin's NBC.
Hmm.
It's a sewer pipe. Take a look at who they have
Griffin?
On MSNBC. Degenerates and anti-Americans from top to bottom.
Hmm. Oh,
now,
yeah.
As I said last week, a pervert can still be a good professional, but a pervert cannot be a good American.
Huh?
MSNBC is an example of that. Virtually
what?
Everything that comes out of the stooges, the puppets of Pill Griffin, is anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-police, anti-military.
Hmm. What the hell is he on?
Hmm. Didn't he get fired by MSNBC?
Yes, he did.
Indeed, he did.
He's holding a little grudge, I think.
I believe he holds the world record. Didn't he have a show for like a day until he told a gay man caller to, why don't you get AIDS and die, you fag?
Mm-hmm.
And then he got,
you're fired.
Yeah, that lasted.
Yeah. Vermin! Vermin!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say whatever I want!
It's hard to stay up at that level in any network, so I could see where he would be. Okay,
sure, you have the right to say wherever you want, and your employers have the right to fire you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you
is Pill Griffin supposed to be funny? Is that
humor.
A joke?
That's humor. It's a little play on a person's name whose name is
See
Phil.
What I did? I left out the H. So it sounds like something else.
Wow.
I'm insinuating something.
Okay, 18 minutes.
Don't you get it?
Jim.
What, am I too subtle for you?
Wow.
18 minutes after the hour.
How'd you like
back.
To be his producer? Holy crap.
Riding
yeah,
the levels constantly.
You think your world is bad.
Oh, it's a cakewalk compared to that.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Next, food and music. This is mankind's greatest invention.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Only 4 minutes to change the save the world?
Yeah, that's it.
I need to get that memo.
What? Huh?
And it's already 24 minutes after the hour.
I have to get my tights and cape on.
You're 20 minutes late. 1-800-STEP-12. Janet in Chicago, coming to Sexy Liberal tomorrow night. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I know you're a good Catholic girl, and my partner and I would like to be the official ex-nuns, lesbians
wow.
of
the Stephanie
Miller
Show. Wow. Both of you were nuns?
Yeah.
Did girls, you meet girls, in the same convent?
Girl nuns gone wild.
Did you meet in the same convent?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not like those movies we enjoy.
Yeah.
And I want to say my 85-year-old mother in Palm Desert loves you.
Aw, love her. Love her back.
Yes. You know, I love ex-nuns. I got a thing for ex-nuns.
All right, honey. We'll see you there. Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Here we go. Saturday night, Chicago Theater. Woo-hoo.
Wow.
So look at you guys trying to get to the seedy side of the convents.
Well, that would have been quite a story.
I'd like to say at a Freudian level, lesbian ex-nuns covers everything for me.
Yeah. John, that's like your male fantasy come true.
Holy cow.
So, yeah.
The ecclesiastical mook.
Cue the wah-wah
little...
pedal. Yeah, and it also covers some mommy issues, too, apparently.
Exactly. That's the threesome of my Freudian subconscious dreams.
The ecclesiastical mook has some handy wood
now.
Wow.
My All goodness. Right.
Yeah, in honor of the Glenn Beck show, Chris, I like this idea. So we think he's just because he has a few shows left, he's doing like stuff that has been rejected for years. He's lost the will to live. So people on Ustream can see, I really need to do this story because look at it, Jim. It's smeared.
Oh, wow.
This is from April 2008. South African man discovers hooker is a dude. Man's adventure began on Monday. He picked up a prostitute. Well, on Monday back in 2008. He picked up a prostitute for a quick romp. Eager to taste her delights, he ripped off all his clothes.
Taste her delights?
That's what it says here.
Oh,
he asked her to do the same. She refused.
Not sure that's on the menu.
Yeah.
An argument ensued. I don't know. This kind of guy. I spilled something
blurry.
On this. He grabbed the prostitute. Let's just say he was not touching a woman. That's what it's South African.
Wow.
I didn't get to in 2008.
How
so there
do you
it is.
Manage to spill so much stuff on your show prep?
I don't even know what that was.
What do you do around your show prep?
She was prepping in the bathtub.
You don't need to know.
What happened? What happened after he found out it was a male prostitute?
Does it go on?
Oh, sorry. You've got to scrape the Chardonnay off your show prep.
That part's too smeared.
Yeah.
I don't know how the story ends.
That's it. That's the story. That's
wow.
why I didn't get to it.
The funny thing
there.
Is, like, people would say that compromises his manhood. I would say going to pay for a prostitute in the first place compromises your manhood.
Sure.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Exactly.
You have given up your claim to be a man.
Exactly. All right. We have been talking about Afghanistan this morning with Richard Wolff and others, the president.
We're going to do it in a steady way to make sure that the gains that all of you helped to bring about are going to be sustained.
You know, Richard Wolff, Chris, said the same thing you did, because I'm a bad packer.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of said, why can't they get everybody out tomorrow? And apparently, because, you know, tanks don't go in the overhead, and I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah.
I did pack in advance today, though, which is really weird for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's strange.
I'm already packed for Chicago.
Your car's not coming until, like, 25 minutes after the show ends.
Well, and it takes 15 minutes to get home, so technically I would have had 10 minutes to pack.
Yes!
And I would have picked...
Did you not drink this morning? What, were you sober?
I don't know what's happening.
Did you bring your Uggs?
Of course she brought her Uggs. She wears her Uggs everywhere.
Except in D.C. in winter. She wore open-toe shoes in the snow.
Well, it was a fancy inaugural event.
At least you didn't wear open-toe boots,
I got
Jim,
fancy
okay?
inaugural frostbite.
It was only for George W. Bush.
Did I say inaugural?
Inaugural, yeah. No, this is for the first time you've been to D.C.
All right. Karzai, the Afghan president.
The announcement that was made last night by President Obama is welcomed by the Afghan people. The number of troops that he has announced to be withdrawn this year and the rest the next year is a sign that Afghanistan is taking over its own security and trying to defend its territory by its own means.
And please don't hang me from a lamppost and disavow
me. I'm glad he approves of it. I really care about his opinion.
Yeah,
well, thank God. That's good news. Mm. All right. And then the military's response, Admiral Mullen and others, as we continue. And Jennifer Palmieri, president of the Center for American Progress, their take on the Afghanistan plan. As we continue.
President of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, not the entire thing. Just thought I'd clarify.
Thank God that was corrected for the record.
Well,
29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
Julia West. This is
Stephanie Miller.
Well, hubba dang dang, who invented this thing?
That sounded like Adam West.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
This ain't no party. This ain't no disco.
Yeah, it is. It's both. And a dessert topping as well. Admiral Mike Mullen on the president's Afghanistan.
What I can tell you is the president's decisions are more aggressive and incur more risk than I was originally prepared to accept.
So he's made nobody happy again. Military general. Is this Petraeus? I believe so. We don't know. Chris was drunk when he did the soundbite.
The ultimate decision was a more aggressive formulation, if you will, in terms of the timeline than what we had recommended.
So Mullen now says he will back the plan. He admitted he initially was not fully comfortable with the withdrawal plan. He said the president's decisions are more aggressive, but he said he's insisted that he and Petraeus are now fully on board with the decision. Jennifer Palmieri, let me just get this right, is the Center for American Progress.
Action.
Fund. Action. Thank you. Action Fund, and she joins us now. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. Chris is very nervous about your title.
I am the president of the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
Good for you. Good for you. Now,
Thank you
Jen, what's your take on it? Because so obviously, you know, the commander said, oh, this is too fast, and Democrats are saying it's not fast enough. Where do you come down on this?
Well, I think I might not be where you all are. I'm not sure. But I actually grew up in three generations of a Navy family, but I'm not an expert on troops, so I can't say what the, what the right number is. But, I think that, you know, if you step back, if the president did, what he said he was going to do.
Right.
I've seen even some of my own colleagues here have criticized the president saying that the troop levels are higher, even with the drawdown, they're going to be higher than they were under Bush in Afghanistan. Well, mm-hmm. Yes, that was his strategy.
That's what
he ran on.
Jen, you're absolutely right. I have said
what he said he was going, as a matter of fact, that was Cap's strategy, which was to draw down in Iraq and build up in Afghanistan. And, he had the surge, and when he did the surge, he said that he would, within a year, he'd start bringing people out, and that's what he's
right.
And that's what he's doing.
He said he would finish the job. He would get bin Laden. And you're absolutely right. I agree with you.
So this is and the fact that he did draw down in Iraq meant that there was more intelligence capability for us in Pakistan and in Afghanistan, and that helped with getting bin Laden. And you know, now I know that people. I think the one thing, and I have to, you know, I went to the White House, did briefings on Wednesday afternoon for people ahead of the speech to give a sense of what he was going to say. And when they laid out to me what they were going to say, I said back to them that I thought that they were telling a cogent, you know, just from a communications perspective, a cogent story. But what I hadn't really appreciated, if you think about how the American people are going to hear this, is the speech was about why it's okay to start leaving as opposed to why we are staying, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come at it from that direction. And when you think about it, how people who aren't absorbed in this every day, I mean, the American people aren't thinking, I really want to know why it's okay to take 30,000 troops out. They're thinking, why do I need to keep 70,000 there?
Exactly.
Right. And I think that they didn't quite get that to explain, why it was so important to stay there for, the remainder of the time.
Representative Adam Smith made a couple of points to me yesterday. I wanted to get your take on. One point he made is he said, you know, a lot of people say, well, bin Laden was in Pakistan, but he said, yeah, but if we weren't based militarily in Afghanistan, that's where the, you know, special operation came from. We wouldn't have been able to do that. And he also said, obviously, it's not just getting al-Qaeda, of which there are very few left in Afghanistan, but he said it's, you know, to not have the country descend into chaos and the Taliban completely take over. So, you know, he was sort of, because I think you're right, when you look at the polling, people just go, we got bin Laden, let's get out. Let's, yeah. So what do you make of those points?
That's a good observation, particularly that we wouldn't, that had you not been in Afghanistan, you don't have that ability.
Staging ground.
It does, but it also sort of gets to the sort of, you know, under, I think the, underlying unease that probably all of us have, which is, you know, to be it colloquially, there's a bit of a whack-a-mole phenomenon here.
Right.
So yeah, they were in Afghanistan, you know, that's why bin Laden was in Pakistan, because he had gotten pushed out of Afghanistan. And I don't think that there's, you know, I don't think that the answer is, you know, so yes, we will try to stabilize Afghanistan to some degree, and then you know, we see problems popping up in Yemen. But I don't think the answer is so easy as to say, well, then you just walk away.
So,
I think
Jen, what
probably it needs to be some level, continued level of engagement, and you know, to try and manage it. Although realizing you're really never going to wipe this, you know, you're not going to wipe out this threat.
Jen,
you got to manage it.
Yeah, Jen, do you think he's gotten it about right? Is that, you know,
I think so. I mean, again, I can't get to the, you know, it's like 30,000, 40,000. I don't know. But understanding enough about what the
danger of just walking away
seems risky. And I think, you know, it's easy to you know, if you're not sitting in the White House, to think that you can just walk away. But when you've got, you know, that responsibility, I think that it's harder to see that it's such an easy calculation.
Right. What? You're not going to play armchair general like everybody else?
I was
what I'm like. I'm like, I don't know. I'm a girl.
I know not to do that.
Yes.
I didn't play with the soldiers when I was little.
Navy family and not army.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, you don't need that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it not worth bringing up the timing about the re-election campaign and bringing the troops home? I mean, I'm under no illusion that we'll ever have all of our troops out of there in the next 30 years.
Right.
But it does seem very interestingly timed that the public wants the troops brought home, and we're bringing a big chunk of them home in the fall of 2012.
I honestly think that's a happy coincidence. Having worked in a White House, like usually the conspiracy theories or the political theories don't pan out to be true, because you got other things pulling on you that don't make it possible. And most of the time, you're not that smart.
Don't get me wrong. I hope it helps.
Yeah.
I do hope it helps, but I think it's particularly with this president, you know, he seems more interested in getting things like just right than shading it a bit for political. And I understand it's about fighting seasons, and you know, I guess we should be grateful that you can't fight in Afghanistan all year, or we'd have more casualties all year, or you know, even worse ones. But
yeah. See, I don't know, Jim. Maybe it's because I'm a girl. I never played with soldiers, so I don't know. Do you put bayonet guy in, or laying down army guy, or I don't know how many of them? I'm not really certain. Jen, real quick before you go, how is this, you know, the debt ceiling and all this going to, now that Paul Ryan has had his little tantrum?
The canter tantrum.
Canter.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and seems to be a little bit of setting up his own guy there, setting up Boehner, which seemed to surprise him and trying to walk away. Well, I mean, they called everybody's bluff a little sooner than I think we had anticipated, but I'm worried that I really think we should be able to win a fight. It's not about higher taxes, it's about ending tax subsidies, and I really think the Democrats should be able to win that. And I actually think that, you know, Boehner is actually a more reasonable guy than the others, but whether or not you can get that Republican caucus to go along with it, you know.
I think he drunk dialed Cantor after that happened, and it wasn't pretty. Jennifer Palmieri, who is president of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Always a pleasure, Jen. Thanks so much.
A pleasure to talk to you guys again.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Adam's apple!
And how many times did the GOP vote to raise the debt ceiling under Bush, kids? How many
thousands,
times?
Thousands. Billions.
Seven.
11 billion.
Yes, but those were freedom debts.
Jim said that he thinks that's what Eric Cantor said, that you aren't going to have this Adam's apple to kick around.
But see, these guys are trying to destroy the government, but Eric Cantor wants to destroy John Boehner. He's going to force him to work so he can get his job.
Okay, so the full...
I have to work at a
Eric
job!
Eric Cantor wants that job.
The full faith and credit of the United States of America is being held hostage because Eric Cantor decides to throw a tantrum?
Because he didn't want to go. Eddie Munster did not want to go to the budget talks.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Yeah.
I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't! You can't make me! You can't! You can't!
All right, Adam Zeppel. Ken and Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, go ahead.
I just like to say that I think it's quite refreshing that we actually have some discord in our government. I think it kind of shows
no,
that
it isn't.
We probably aren't being subjected to facts and figures that have been manipulated by an administration.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. He put the wars on the books, and, you know, as Jennifer said, he is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And I get that not everyone's going to agree with it exactly. But
look, I'm going to trust the party more that doesn't completely walk in lockstep with their leader. You know, I like that there's critical thought. I like that there's diversity within the Democratic Party.
I don't.
Nah, screw you.
See what I did there?
Jerk. All right, Senator Chuck Schumer on the Cantor.
Leader Cantor clearly got spooked by how this final deal has to come together.
I saw the shadow of my own Adam's apple, and it frightened me.
He got scared.
That's
I was
what happened.
Scared.
He's like, who is that? Oh, it's me.
I kind of sound like Al Gore if you take the Bullwinkle part out.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor's decision to withdraw from the talks demonstrates the influence of anti-tax crusader Grover Norquist on the Republican Party, mm-hmm. said Chris Van Hollen, our friend. He said he was disappointed Cantor left. He said the reality here is that until our Republican colleagues are more concerned about the need to reduce the deficit than they're worried about what Grover Norquist will say, we're really going to have a difficult time reducing the deficit.
Grover Norquist said he wanted to drown me in a bathtub.
just the Adam's apple above water. Oh. Instead of making the hard choices to find a responsible way to reduce the deficit, Republicans are running away from the mess they created, said another mm-hmm. Democratic congressman. Is this the adult moment they promised the American people in November? Yeah, exactly. Little tantrum man. Oh, this is the adult moment, the adults in the room we were waiting for.
I'm going to hold my breath until you give me what I want, or until my Adam's apple explodes, whichever comes first. Oops.
All right, 45, back with more on the deficit battles. We continue 45 minutes after the hour, Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Love it, love it, love it.
In the land
way
of the
too.
Dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
Just going for the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Turn it up. And they talk about it still. Ha!
A man named Al Capone. Oh, this is awful.
Yeah.
Love it.
Wow. And he called his
gang to war. Yeah.
With the forces of the law.
I heard my mama cry.
I can hear the audience switching over to Hannity.
Brother wanna fight a glory be.
It's okay. Not often you hear a song with glory be in it.
I trust the blues band won't be playing that piece of crap.
No. No, they're
Sean
the Chicago
Hannity's
Blues.
Wondering why, nope. Sean Hannity's wondering why all these liberals just switched over to his show.
Yeah.
It's the Chicago Blues All-Stars, and they will be backing us up at Sexy Liberal tomorrow night at Chicago Theater, and they will not be playing that song, I don't think. Although maybe they are now, if they're listening, just to annoy us.
Oh, boy. Although Muddy Waters could have made that song work.
But, yeah.
I don't think he would have uttered the words, Daddy was a cop on the east side of Chicago.
Daddy was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
On the end of Navy Pier.
What?
No.
What?
No.
His daddy was a Rolling Stone, maybe.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So we've been talking about big government, socialism, et cetera.
Yes.
Who did this and who sent it to us?
I don't know. It was sent to me via Facebook, but it's pretty damn funny.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation soon. Here we go.
Boy, this is nice.
The nicest public beach I've ever been on.
Public? You mean this is taxpayer funded?
Don't let another vacation be ruined by
socialism.
Ready to take your vacation back from big government? Come to Somalia, libertarian paradise. If the government doing anything at all is just a little too socialistic-ish for your tastes,
we don't want our government to do anything for us.
Come to where they've been functioning government-free since 1991. You'll fly into fully deregulated Baladogli Airport and find a free market haven where the police, roads, and navy are maintained by rational self-interest and libertarian magic dust.
The market's at work.
I have cholera.
What?
Come to Somalia. Because government isn't the solution to our problems, government is the problem, and now you have cholera.
That video is I'm doing Laughing Liberally off Broadway, and that video opens our show every night.
Does it really?
Yeah, cool. That's been our opening act.
Oh, very cool.
I love her. I have cholera.
And she's dancing on the beach. I have cholera. I'm going to post that up at your Facebook page,
Stephanie. Of course you are. Yes. Eric in Harlem, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
It's the happy black man, official happy black man of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eric in Harlem. Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, Your Holiness.
Yes. Good morning, my child.
Good morning. Thank you. Mm. Yeah, I'm booking. I'm actually on Travelocity right now trying to book my flight to Somalia.
and you'll have cholera soon.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want that pesky FAA getting in the way of your flight.
Getting their nose all up in your business.
That's the new dessert topping.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say to you, Mama, you are beauty Paul.
Beauty Paul. Beauty Paul.
You are beauty Paul.
Thank you.
Us here in Harlem, we love you.
Thank you, Eric.
And also, please make Thursdays with Richard Wolf a happening.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Because, my God, he just set the mantra for the progressive movement.
What's that?
You know, and he really just, like, please, he made sense in everything that he said.
Yes.
You know, we need to look at the glass half full and not half empty.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and that should be the mantra that they carry into 2012. Every single thing that he says, this president plays chess like David Bender says, and the rest of us play checkers.
I say there is no glass, only broken shards.
All right.
No. That's our gym.
Thank you. That's our gym. That's our gym. All right. Oh, Eddie Munster is the third most disliked GOPer.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Democrats are winning the messaging war on Paul Ryan's bid to overhaul Medicare, with a new Bloomberg poll finding 57%. That's nearly 60, Jim, of Americans believe they would be worse off under his plan. Only 34% say they would be better off if Congress replaced traditional Medicare with a program, the vouchers.
But it's a serious plan. It says so on the papers.
He's
34%
now
think they'd be better off. Would they be better off on fire?
As long as you can put it out with a voucher.
Yep.
The poll also found Ryan is now the nation's third most disliked Republican. He trails only Speaker Gingrich, frankly, and Sarah Palin.
Wow.
Good boy.
Isn't
so
that
Mitch
wonderful,
McConnell
Eddie?
Is more likable.
Awesome. All right. Senator Harry Reid on the deficit talks.
I think that, you know, we have to act like adults here. We have to do something, as Senator Durbin said, by August 2nd, and we're going to do something by August 2nd. But the Republicans should stop playing chicken and pushing us too close to that line. It's not going to be good for our country or the world.
Nancy Pelosi, unimpressed with Cantor's tantrum. She has too many kids and grandkids. She's just like, oh, okay, all right. Are you done spinning
before
on your back? She said, yes, we do want to remove tax subsidies for big oil. We want to remove tax breaks for corporations that send jobs overseas. That list goes on. I don't know that's a reason to walk away from the table when we're trying to find a balanced approach, Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, we do want to remove tax subsidies for big oil. We want to remove tax breaks for corporations that send jobs overseas. That list goes on. I don't know that that's a reason to walk away from the table when we're trying to find a balanced approach.
He's a Cantor is like that dog in that video that we put up. I'm having bacon now. What? You're taking my bacon out of the budget? The boner.
I know the frustration that he feels when Democrat members continue to want to bring tax hikes into this conversation. And insists that we've got to raise taxes on the American people.
Well, American people, by which I mean the oil companies. That's ridiculous.
Be quiet, Jim. He's a moderate now.
We can't have pork for the oil companies? Huh?
Bacon?
No.
We gave it to the cat.
Oil company pork? No. The boner.
If we're going to meet the president's timetable to come to an agreement by the end of this month, that he needs to engage.
He's done more than engage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is everything we ask for. Yeah. Who the hell do you think he is, a president?
Yeah, the Republicans are the ones who walked away from the executive branch's debt reduction commission.
Well,
exactly.
These conversations could continue
if we don't walk
away
from them.
They take the tax hikes out of the conversation.
Oh, shut up.
Tantrum man. Go cry your bronzer off.
I might mow the lawn if I got $1 million allowance.
Can you imagine if a Republican gets into office in 2012? Fox News' ratings will plummet.
Yeah.
These guys will have to work.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we continue with Celebrity Stack. Much more Fridays with Bugle Sang. Sexy Liberal. Continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Fridays with Bugle Sang. We're a little giddy.
Yeah.
We're off to Chicago tomorrow night for the Sexy Liberal Show at Chicago Theater, backed up by the Chicago Blues All-Stars.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Geno's East.
Jesse in Illinois.
Geno's East.
Jesse's going to be there. Hi, Jess.
Hey, hi, Stephanie. It's so good to talk to you. I'm a long-time listener. Listen, I like to become the official ex-monk of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, this is my
really?
Day.
Wow,
yeah,
wait.
This is holy week, I guess.
We will have the ecclesiastical MOOC, God bless you, tomorrow night at the Sexy Liberal Show.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Listen, I remember you said that somebody carried a sign saying repent, and you got off... And you got out and hugged them. So if you see somebody carrying a sign tomorrow,
that'll be you.
Saying, repent. Yeah. Would you get off and give me a hug, please?
Oh, I'll give you more than that. I'll give you a little, a little face full of floppy fun sacks. That's what I tend to do, right, John?
Oh, yes. That's not how I would refer to it.
I tend to motorboat a few people in the front row.
Stephanie's legally married to half the front rows we've had so far.
Delia in Chicago is going to be at Sexy Liberal. Hi, Delia.
Hi. How are you?
You ready to get your sexy on?
I am so excited. My husband and I are coming tomorrow, and our church is marching in the Pride Parade on Sunday.
Oh, nice. Awesome! We'll see you twice then.
Yeah, so I wanted to see, since we're having the ecumenical gathering, if I could be the sexy liberal Lutheran.
Oh,
absolutely.
Nice.
Please bring a dish to pass.
And John?
Yes.
Would love to have you come to church if you're interested.
On Sunday?
On Sunday, we're gathering right before and then heading over. We're right in the neighborhood.
I may take you up on that, although I may be spending the morning with my sodomite heathen pals.
All right, awesome. All right.
Sodomites can be Lutherans too, John.
That's true,
wow,
I know.
Anyway, Chicago Theater.
And heterosexuals as well.
Yes.
Thank God for that. It can save a marriage.
2,600 seats, and apparently they are almost all gone. Last time,
106 miles to Chicago.
People are coming from far and wide.
We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes.
To witness the progressive comic genius of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show.
It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
And now, they're coming to Chicago.
Chicago. Hit it.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex.
On June 25th, Chicago's Gay Pride Weekend, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Chicago's favorite deep dish, Stephanie Miller, will bring their quick-witted liberal wisdom to the historic Chicago Theater.
This is going to be f***ing golden.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Come to the show that conservatives don't want you to see. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Do it with pride.
That's the Chicago one.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the regular website. You can email us all like Daniel did from Japan.
Daniel-san?
Daniel-san.
Yes.
Yes. He says konnichiwa.
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 And that we are damaging his children.
Uh-oh.
Dan in Japan here. Can I be the official Japanese pig farm designer of the Stephanie Miller Show? Phew! That application just came in time. We've had a lot of those.
They have to design pig farms?
Apparently. Huh. Every morning at 5:30 here, I listen to your show as I make lunch for my three kids. I happily make excellent entrees and imaginative side dishes as I merrily listen to fart jokes and hilarious impressions. But for the second time in a month, your show was posted late to both iTunes and Stitcher, and I, in the foulest of mood, again pack my kids' lunches of old dinner rolls and whatever I could find between the refrigerator and the wall. Please, for the children. Daniel, that was kind of a threat. Okay, sorry. We might have had a technical difficulty one day. I need to pull something out from behind the refrigerator to feed your children.
A stale dinner roll? Wow.
It's our fault, apparently.
Guess so.
Not thinking of the children. This one from Roland on Earworm. Staff, I'm a high school English teacher in Los Angeles who decided to expose my fourth period advanced placement seniors to three great earworms of the show on one of those down days after finals when the students were busy quietly signing each other's yearbooks. I began playing my iPhone over and over again. Baby monkey on a pig, chimpanzee on a Segway, and wiener dog. Needless to say, there were some who were begging for mercy and accusing me of engaging in nothing short of torture on their delicate eardrums. By the end of the period, a number of them, though, had already added the songs to their own iPhones, and others left singing to ditties. Mission accomplished.
baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey.
It's the song Wings didn't make.
Yeah. I just like
chimpanzee riding on a Segway, chimpanzee riding on a Segway, chimpanzee riding on a Segway,
All right. And
that one I haven't seen.
I think the Archies did record that one.
Adding to the Anthony Weiner earworm craziness.
There is a metal version of a chimpanzee riding on a Segway.
Oh, cool. Is there really?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Look it up. There's a metal version.
Oh,
awesome.
Boy.
Yeah, I just, Baby
for
Monkey.
For Hal, kids, for Hal.
Baby Monkey, my favorite. It's just, I like the beginning of it. I don't know why. I just.
Oh, no. Just the best part is when they do the Stones in that. They do Sympathy for the Devil with the woo woo in the background. It's
no,
fantastic.
The beginning is the best. The Baby Monkey. I could hear that all day long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now your entire audience will have that song in their head and be
well,
up
now,
all night.
Well, now, thanks to John Huntsman, we have another one, and that is that he was in a band called Wizard!
Woo! You mean that's something interesting about John Huntsman?
Yes.
Yeah.
John, the story is in New York Magazine. John Huntsman, Governor Ambassador, dropout keyboardist for a band called Wizard.
Excellent.
You're a wizard, Johnny.
Who sent us that? All right, that's the new piece in a band called Wizard.
Excellent.
And they did REO Speedwagon covers.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
I love that. His senior year in high school, he dropped out to join a prog rock.
Progressive rock.
That's what they're called.
You've never heard of that.
No.
Really?
A band called, we kid you not, Wizard.
Excellent.
One of two Mormons in the band, Huntsman practiced original numbers and REO Speedwagon covers for 5 hours a day in a converted radio station on the edge of town.
They couldn't get the clearance to stick songs.
Huntsman caught his bandmate's eye partly for his family wealth. He could help them buy new equipment.
That's like Bill Wyman.
Can your dad buy us a bass?
That's why Bill Wyman had a bass too.
And an amp.
He bought him a band.
If your dad could buy us an amp, that would be...
Excellent!
But also for his wardrobe, long hair, open shirt, tight pants.
Excellent!
Mormons don't wear open shirts.
Well, he did. Because he was
The top. The top button was open.
Yeah, the top button was open. That's risqué.
There was no tie.
In Salt Lake City.
Oh, do you dare?
Oh, that's the greatest story. All right. Lydia in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lydia.
Hello.
Hello.
Your encyclopedia. Lydia the tattoo lady.
May I be the official non-hugger from Minneapolis?
Oh, what good are yous?
Oh, that's great. You'll be the non-hugging saint.
That's what I'm wondering, because when you were in the show and on stage, people asked for hugs from John and Hal.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
No one asked you.
No, I know. I'm just their pimp. That's what I do. I'm just
I know. Very unsettling that none of them.
Yeah, it was very unsettling
actually,
for me, too.
Steph actually hugged the entire audience before the Q&A.
Yeah, so no one had to ask.
DNA
I'd throw myself
well.
At you. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
It's all
whatever.
Part of being a Florida whore.
That was the first time anyone ever asked me for a hug on this whole tour, and she was cute, too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Jeff, look at this. Steph, I was too shy to ask for your picture on Saturday night in Minneapolis, but John's picture of the sexy liberal side of you taking the shot of your cooter has my big face inadvertently in it. Great. Cheese me and your cooter. Jeff, that's Jeff's face.
We haven't had a chance to talk about
it. In the picture on sexyliberal.com.
That must seem like ancient history to you by now, but Minneapolis was such a great show and a great audience. Steph was hilarious. Your Anthony Weiner thing was hilarious. Stephanie actually did take someone's cell phone and take a picture of herself like that.
They enjoyed it. And someone said I forgot to smile, but anyway.
What?
I don't know. Well, they got the picture of it. And
she didn't forget to smile. She's pretentious and just looks that way on purpose.
All right.
God, it's art, people. It's art.
I haven't
art.
Done my Kegel exercises. Boy. All right. Hey, by the by, we got in a big, not since John Fugelsang got in his Twitter fight with Andrew Breitbart, have we gotten so much press here?
Yes, hello.
I made Newsbusters, and then Mediaite defended me. Let's see. Mediaite's headline is Rick Perry, Gay Rumors Spark Stephanie Miller / Rush Limbaugh / Politico War of Words. Fight, 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 fight.
Press, awesome. Press, press,
yay,
press, press.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you, Newsbusters. Yeah, it's...
I know. Can the Tea Party please come pick at us in Chicago so the media will pay attention?
Yeah, let's see here. Mediaite says, Texas Governor Rick Perry seems to have a bit of a Charlie Crist problem, at least according to this week's Politico article. Thank you! I was quoting Politico.
Jesus
drumming up
Christ.
Old rumors that he might be gay, the article is already on the lips of several political commentators, and most notably liberal radio talk show host Stephanie Miller, who wondered whether Rush Limbaugh's support would dwindle if the rumors were true. That's all I said. That comment landed her in hot water with conservatives, naturally, who turned the spotlight on her own sexuality in her choice to bring up Perry's. What? Conservative watchdog Newsbusters immediately accused Miller of spreading the rumor that Perry escaped by quoting the Politico piece. While being the one to bring up the blood, Miller clearly states that she sees no evidence to believe that. They go on to speculate as to whether Miller would have been comfortable with that joke before if I went in the way back in the DeLorean before I came out, Jim, see? Mediaite, fine Americans defending me. Miller used the story only to highlight what she perceives as Limbaugh's homophobia, an entirely different argument altogether, but never suggested she believed the rumors. First of all, I love this part. First of all, by defending Perry from Miller's outing, it's Coleman who's assuming the governor's in the closet.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Secondly, Miller didn't opine on whether she wants people to come out of the closet or not. She only accused Limbaugh of homophobia. Anyway, thank you, Mediaite. Thank you.
But wouldn't it be awesome if a right-wing governor of Texas turned out to be gay?
It would be awesome. Awesome.
I would look on people's faces.
What?
I would have sex with Rick Perry just if he would be gay. I would do it.
He wouldn't
let my people hate.
No. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more, we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Mackenzie in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mackenzie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first off, can I be the official cytogeneticist of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Wow. We aren't we fancy with our book learning?
I look at chromosomes.
Whatever, braggy. All right, go ahead.
So I wanted to share my baby monkey story.
Okay.
I have infiltrated the whole cytogenetics department where they love to sing it. Like people just start hearing it in their mind, so they start singing it and they get mad at me. But my son has been the most affected. He's 4. And the other day I picked him up from school and he said, I want to listen to Baby Monkey. Well, I have a FM transmitter in my car that I can hook up my iPhone to play on my car speakers.
Sure.
And from school to home, which is about a 20-minute drive, it would go, it would finish, he said, again.
And so oh, do it again.
That's the thing about kids. They like to hear it again and again and again.
That song is ear crack.
Yes, and when I'm putting him to bed, I read him a story, and he's like, can I watch Baby Monkey one time?
Boy. Oh, I apologize, Mackenzie. What's your son's name?
Camden.
Camden, ask for it again.
I know, exactly. I was going to call
Andy Camden.
Call and say, hey, my son's name is Camden, too.
Aww. Listening in the car, this is for Camden. Both Camdens. Thank you, Mackenzie.
Yes. Ooh.
Ooh. Baby monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby monkey.
Again.
Yeah, yeah.
Riding on a pig, baby monkey.
Do it again.
Ooh.
Baby monkey. Baby monkey.
Do it again. All right. Stop it. My friend in high school, Elaine Johnson, everything I would do when I was the class clown, of course. And if anything I would do, she would say, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. That was funny. So, and now I'm that girl with Jim. That's why I'm like, can I do the Tom Brokaw?
Yeah, do it again.
Do it again. Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw, ABC Island News. Reporting live from Ljubljana, Slovenia. An unusual... Somebody gave me a pencil.
Do it again. Mary Kay Letourneau with that one.
Mary Kay Letourneau and her boyfriend, Roy Hala, Lola Falana.
Lola Falana?
Oh. Do when we text Slobodamilo. What's the bitchin'?
What's that?
Slobodamilo in Yugoslavia.
Slobodamilo, Sedition, Yugoslavia.
Yay! Do it again! Okay. Let's go to Will in Humboldt, California. Hi, Will.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to tell you that baby monkey riding on a pig is now me and my girlfriend's favorite sexual position.
Oh.
Who's the monkey and who's... I don't want to...
Oh, my God!
Great.
I need to leave early like I normally do on Fridays. Like... I just, oh now my. I can't get that visual out of my, yeah, exactly, and who's who, exactly.
Mm.
All right, let's do it again.
Well, chimpanzee riding on a Segway is my favorite position.
Yes, yes.
What about wiener dog is on a mine. Skateboard?
Wiener dog is mine. All right.
Who's the wiener dog and who's the skateboard?
Oh, I got to go
wiener dog and a cell phone.
Oh, boy. Donna in Los Angeles. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the various senators and mostly Republican and House of Representative members and comedians like Tracy Morgan,
yes,
who are clearly homophobic. But in my opinion, they're also clearly closeted gay persons, like you brought up earlier.
Well, yeah, there is the doth protest too much argument.
And I don't think that's necessarily fair. I mean, Tracy Morgan, I don't think is guilty of homophobia. I think he's guilty of making a joke that wasn't funny. He's bending over backwards to make amends, and he's had a lot of gay people in his life.
He's guilty of douchebaggery for sure.
He's guilty of being a douchebag, definitely.
Yeah.
I tend to see it as this an internalized homophobia that they're a lot of them seem gay in my gaydar opinion.
Well, I don't know about Tracy Morgan, but I think it was the combination of violence and kids and just with all the gay
the stabbing imagery.
Boy.
You know, if my kid came home liking a Tracy Morgan album, I'd make him turn gay and then stab myself.
All right, thank you, John. I think that's an important point to make this morning. Thank you. Tim in Richmond, Virginia, writes, Steph, you know me as the official pedal steel guitarist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Of course.
But in high school, I played in a rock band, or as Huntsman would call it, a rock and roll band called Thief. Not Thieves, but Thief.
Excellent.
So cool. So cool. Last month, we played at a bar in Charlotte you need to go to next time you're in town. It's called, I kid you not, the Thirsty Beaver.
Oh, wow.
This Thief. Sounds suspiciously like Thief. Rock and or roll.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mike in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I called Mr. Kidder's office this morning and spoke with a young lad named Parker. And I said, I would like to know how many times Mr. Kidder voted to raise the debt ceiling when George Bush was president. He goes, I don't have that information in front of me.
I don't have that information on me.
Yeah.
Let me. I'll gather that and I'll get that back to you.
I have that information and I'm a clown.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Yes, sir. All right. So did he say he'd get that back to you? Oh, we lost him. Okay.
The answer is 7.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Wait, yeah. That's the thing. You can't. And meanwhile, the media covers it.
Yep.
You know, they let conservatives drive the media storyline that this is a crisis and it's we got to just do. It's the biggest story, the debt. And they did it routinely.
Well,
when
pointing
Bush was
out conservative hypocrisy makes you not balanced. You see.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack as we continue Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, nobody believed we'd make it. Look at us now. I drink and you use sex as a weapon. That seems to me like a success.
Oh, boy. 34 minutes after the hour. You're right. Funniest thing said by a listener on the show in a long time.
Yeah.
The guy that said he and his girlfriend's favorite sexual position is baby monkey riding backwards on a pig. Visual is going to stay in my head all weekend. Okay. Hopping on a plane to Chicago after the show today. John, this is what I need. This is the main reason. Yeah, they're sexy liberal. Almost sold out Chicago theater show tomorrow night. However... Mm-hmm. There is a rare pregnant Barbie doll has been stolen from a 67-year-old Illinois man's apartment.
Oh, no.
I must go find this. A Barbie doll purported to be rare because of features that include a detachable pregnant belly and a tiny doll fetus.
Reportedly been stolen.
I must find this.
That is rare.
So Barbie got pregnant, huh?
Actually, it's Midge because, you know, she's a well-known slut.
Yeah,
look at her.
She's a whore.
Look at her.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
A 67-year-old man who owned the doll.
Oh, okay, that's weird right there.
I don't know.
I think you should just stop reading right there.
Come over and see my pregnant Midge doll.
Want to know how she got pregnant? Maybe you don't.
It's me.
It wasn't Ken, trust
anyway.
Me.
Anyway,
no, it's not Ken. Definitely not. You're not Ken. Hearing fun.
We don't have to bring in Maury in here.
Or G.I.
Joe.
It wasn't G.I. Joe either.
No. Anyway, the doll has gone missing. A pregnant Midge was produced in 2002. He marketed as part of the toy line's Happy Family series. So she is not a slut. See?
She's a whore.
It's the Happy Family series. She wore a wedding ring and had a detachable magnetic pregnant stomach that came complete with a curled-up baby Barbie inside. The doll also came with a crib, a cradle, a changing table, and tiny baby toys.
Well, that makes it all okay, then.
Who is she married to?
Including a tiny wiener dog on a... just little tiny baby toys.
Exactly. Where's Levi Johnston?
I think it was short-lived because...
Levi Johnston!
I think it was short-lived because it was controversial, according to... spokesperson.
Really, I can't imagine why.
Who got her pregnant?
One would suspect Ken. Was there someone else? I don't know.
No, Ken was Barbie's squeeze.
Ken was Barbie's beard, thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that.
What? Barbie's gay? Wait a minute.
They were making anatomically correct baby dolls for a while there in the early 70s, so maybe it was one of those.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't Ken or G.I. Joe.
Yeah, my $6 million man action figure definitely was not anatomically correct.
Yeah.
Well, you know, didn't you used to... make your dolls look like they're having sex, so somebody did that, and something went awry.
I only had boy dolls, so...
So... Why do you think
anyway,
they
another
smoke
news.
All right then.
Moving right along as if we didn't hear that. Lindsay Lohan.
The only reason they made Smurfette.
Exactly.
As we chase away the political-minded listeners.
Lindsay Lohan bailed on Matt Lauer. Did you hear about this?
He
did not get the... I know, she's usually so reliable. He didn't get the hot interview that he was supposed to with Lindsay Lohan after she canceled at the last minute.
According so he had 10 minutes of dead air.
Mm-hmm. According to some press reports, she pulled the plug upon learning the sit-down would go much longer than she had led to believe and was going to be shown on more than one NBC program. Others report it's because Lohan allegedly failed a urine test, which showed she had booze.
And
the Today Show
night.
Doesn't
dope.
Go for booze or dope.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, they drummed you right out of her.
Right.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
That's exactly
what
happened.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
All right.
She was talking about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
She had no idea.
Exactly.
Lindsay Lohan is in this Gotti movie, though, right? She is working.
Is she?
Yeah, with John Travolta. There's a movie about the Gotti family.
Oh, yes. You're right.
Has that started filming yet?
That sounds weird, that movie.
I believe so. It's in pre-production, but so let's give her some props.
If it's still in pre-production, she's not a guarantee.
I don't know. They're taking a chance on her.
Okay.
Wow. The superficial reporting, Chris Brown is sending Rihanna photos of his wiener-type photos. Wow. Anthony Wiener-type photos.
So he's gotten more romantic.
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
I don't imagine Rihanna has much trouble.
Hey, forget about the time I
getting guys to show them their, you know.
Yeah, apparently.
It'd be funny if the captain said choke on this.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh. John Louise Fugelsang.
Chris Brown.
Sorry.
Too soon?
He can choke a woman and get away with it, but I'm the jerk. I understand that.
You're a jerk. Chris Brown apparently pulled an Anthony Wiener the other day when he openly tweeted Rihanna, "You got that pic I sent you."
Oh.
Before it was deleted, the tweet was screen capped. They're now claiming it's the photo was of the peni variety.
Wow.
Okay. That should make everything better.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
I'm glad it's working out with those two young people.
Those two kids.
All right. Yeah. This I'm doing only, as you know, Jim, because it's a story that has poo in it. Jennifer Lopez's son took a $6,000 dump in her pool.
What?
Jennifer Lopez.
Was he eating diamonds?
Yeah, what? I'm not really sure. Rich people's pools are expensive. Jennifer Lopez had to shell out $6,000 to clean her swimming pool after her son did a poo in it. He did a doo in the pool.
Are they sure it wasn't her last album?
No!
It was. Oh, John Louise. Okay. They had to. She had to pay to have her pool professionally cleaned after Max, her son's name is Max. Oh. I had an accident while
potty
training.
That must have been a big poo then.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was my size Max poo. Yikes. He had an accident in the pool. It got into the filter system, and they charged us to clean it.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's why we're all childless.
Did you hear about in Portland? It makes fun Portland, having Oregon? Kids sound even more fun, doesn't it?
Did you hear in Portland, Oregon, a 21-year-old man was caught on a security camera urinating into the city reservoir, and they had to flush 8 million gallons of water.
Oh, come on.
Because they were afraid of getting complaints.
One guy.
And it would have been no health risk whatsoever. There's ducks urinate. Ducks die in that water.
Yeah.
But they were so afraid of getting complaints that they dumped 8 million gallons of water.
They treat the water after it leaves the reservoir.
I know. This is local government was afraid. They didn't want to deal with the 100 people who'd be unhappy because it was on camera.
Or
I'm sure
maybe
this happens all the time.
Maybe it's a cover-up. They wanted to get rid of all the radioactive water because of, you know, we're all Fukushima now since the...
you guys offended...
No, this is a reservoir. This guy was on camera. He apologized for doing it.
You guys have offended Robert in Sarasota, Florida. Uh-oh. Good morning, Robert.
Oh, no. What did Jim do?
Hi, Robert.
I'm right here.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about a couple things about the show.
Oh,
I listen to the station often.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few minutes, I guess I heard some comments about, number one, a gentleman who might have been 67 years old, and the comment from one of the men that you're being on your station right now was, I guess, ridiculing his type of voice that may come out of a 67-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. Out of a 67-year-old that owns a pregnant midge doll.
Yes. I know, but
it's
words,
a demented 67-year-old voice.
Not all 67-year-olds speak the way he spoke.
Some do, some don't.
We just imagine that one that owns a pregnant midge doll might speak that way.
I don't really think so. And really,
that wasn't an ageist joke,
can
sir.
You do
that's a creepy guy joke.
John, please, can you do an impression, sir, of what a 67-year-old that owns a pregnant midge doll would sound like?
No, I don't know any. Therefore, I couldn't make any comment.
Well, that's why it was sort of a comedy imagining.
I know. But
just a skit.
It would be like somebody 21 years old.
All right, I made him 97 years old.
Sound like an infant.
All
21 jokes sound like infants.
Comedic exaggeration, sir.
All right, well, we apologize.
Okay. Well, and
all right, what else?
No, we don't, actually.
But the content of the show right now, I think for my purposes, leaves a lot to be desired.
Really?
You mean the part where you're talking?
Well, honestly, Robert, the show kind of disintegrates by the end of the show Friday. That's kind of what happens.
But that's all I want to say. I think sometimes you have to say, you don't know who your audience is.
Yeah.
You don't know how to listen and react to it.
Yeah.
I think that maybe sometimes you have to take a look at the people trying to comment about and realize they're not all like that. And I can handle humor like the next person.
Yeah.
But I'm 67 years old, and I have no way would ever have a doll.
Sir. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So we should not say anything because of the danger that someone might be offended for some reason in some way.
The rod up that man's butt must have a rod up its butt.
You know, but it sounds not, very youthful, whatever the rod, however
I don't apologize for ageist humor because nobody was being ageist. You're awesome. You're 2 years younger than Paul McCartney. You don't own Barbie dolls. You're not the guy we're making fun of.
I don't know what else he takes exception to. Baby monkey? What could you possibly take exception to about our content? Linda Liu in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, y'all. The boyfriend to Midge was Alan.
Alan.
Where is he now?
Alan Seuss? I don't think so.
See, now I question the content of my show. Who needed to know that?
That last caller, he was, what's he listening to you anyway for? He's offended by that.
We're not
Alan. I got a good one for you, though. Yesterday, I showed my Republican boyfriend baby monkey riding backward on a pig video, and next thing I know, we were having afternoon delight, and that comment came up in the bathroom. Which one's the pig and which one's the monkey?
Delightful. Thank you so much, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry, that guy called back. What's that, sir?
Death stalks you and everything!
Oh, no,
death! There you go. Death!
You know,
now you're,
my
now you're being
anxious. Mind starts playing tricks. So, death! Oh, where were we? Death!
I resent the implication that I have an onion on my belt. The fact that I do have an onion on my belt is none of your concern.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Oh, you've got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
Uh-huh.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
Sure.
So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt.
All right.
Which
well, you
was
know what? We'll
have
time. Yeah, we'll have time for that. Yeah.
Now
later.
That's mean ageist comedy,
and it's very, very funny.
Indeed. As opposed
oh,
to
I'm us. Sorry, sir. He's calling again. Was there something else that you wanted to say?
No, I don't have time for this. I have to go buy a single piece of fruit with a coupon and then return it, making people wait behind me while I complain.
I Don hate when you play McCain clips out of context.
Don and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
If you play that back, I swear to God that was John Boehner calling you. That sounded just like John Boehner. Oh, my God.
I don't sound like that. All right. I sound as young as I did when I worked in the
tavern. Oh, God.
45 minutes.
You know what? He did sound kind of old, the guy who called in.
Psh,
what?
He did.
I resent your stereotyping people of my age.
67 instead of 47.
I know. That kid doesn't sound like that. It all sounds just like
all
you did.
All right. So get 60s. Off my lawn and get nice. Off my phone.
Yes.
See, if I were Glenn Beck, I would have screamed at him to get off my phone, but I didn't. 45 minutes
hey,
after the hour.
You, get off my phone.
Yeah, it's see, this is what happens on Friday. It just unravels like an old sweater, just disintegrates. Mm. It's going to get even more incomprehensible after the break.
It's falling apart like a new Kardashian marriage, so stay tuned.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is. And you're going to get her tomorrow night in Chicago, along with John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Sexy Liberal Show. Very few tickets left. Get it. Chicago Theater tomorrow night, backed up by the Chicago Blues All-Stars. We will be broadcasting Gay Pride Parade on WCBT, our Chicago affiliate, Hal and John and I. Get it. Very excited. Chicago. 1-800-STEP-12. Susan, well, how did I know someone in our audience would own a pregnant midge doll? Susan in Washington State owns one. Good morning, Suze.
Good morning, Stephanie. I love your show. But
Thank
when
you.
I heard you mention the pregnant midge, I went into my closet where I have things stashed for my grandkids.
Uh-huh.
I have the pregnant midge.
Of course you do.
And I have the pregnant midge enclosed in mitt in the box.
Wow.
You know, can I just say, we just saw it online. It's very graphic, the pregnant midge. It looks
it
more
is.
Like Alien. Yeah,
and I've got the black midge.
What?
Oh, what?
Yes.
Wow.
When you said that, I thought, oh, my God, I am definitely one of your fans.
Wait a minute. Is black midge pregnant?
Black midge is pregnant.
That's a collector's item.
Oh, boy.
They have a little girl.
Do you hate seniors like we do?
What?
Do you hate seniors like we do?
You missed that last.
You missed the last.
By the way, was it the black pregnant midge made by some right-wing outfit? Does it come with a Cadillac and, you know, food stamps and, you know that
no,
sort of?
There is no pimping out, but there is a family on the front.
Oh, God.
You know,
it's
so,
a family
anyway.
Series.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a family series. I
thank you.
You know,
thank you.
Keep up that great work.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you. Well, if that's what you call this, then
yeah,
I don't
really.
Know what to say about you. Jan in Chicago is 67 and not offended. Hello, Jan.
That's right. I'm calling on behalf of all us 67 seniors that have a sense of humor still.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm a.k.a. the old gal who loves hell, okay?
Oh, well.
And you guys just keep on keeping on with the jokes and including us seniors. And,
you
know, my cats have to go to the bedroom in the morning because I'm in the kitchen listening to you folks, and they get scared when I snort and choke on my coffee. They can't handle it.
I'm a fellow snorter, Jen. Embrace it. Embrace it. All right.
And embrace the snort. It's so awesome when radio people snort.
John in San Francisco is an old guy who owns a doll. Hi, John.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a 65-year-old straight male nurse who has a doll.
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
So,
it's
a Beethoven action figure.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, that's not a doll.
Are you a 65-year-old virgin? Is it a Steve Austin doll?
No, I don't believe so.
No? All right. Just asking. All right.
It's sort of an action figure.
Remember, it's not gay if your doll's a Boba Fett.
Does he do arpeggios? And that's his, like,
super powerful.
Did he come with a piano?
He's a composer, but somebody else was saying, well, no, he's really a decomposer.
Hey.
Waka, waka, waka.
I'm a straight guy with a little Barachi doll. What? Why?
I wish my brother George was here.
Decomposing composers.
Okay, Sarah Palin wants an Emmy for her reality show.
Oh, wow.
Remember Sarah Palin's Alaska? TLC, the network, has entered it for consideration. By the way, Minnesota U.S. Senator Al Franken, 5-time Emmy winner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he actually has talent.
Yes.
She wants an Emmy time she slams Hollywood.
She didn't just use, you know, she just used her kids as bear bait in some cheesy reality show.
Yeah, right.
You get an Emmy for that? Use your kids as chum. Okay, Republicans in No Sense of Humor, part 17,643. Oh, and also, crying racism where there is, it's none. Herman Cain says, John Stewart, mock me because I'm a black conservative.
No.
Stewart, did you see this piece, Stewart? It was hilarious. He joked that Cain offers real solutions to fictional issues. Tell me what any of this has to do with race. Then, after playing a clip of Cain putting his foot down on the issue of the length of bills, he impersonated Cain and said, bills will be 3 pages, which is what Cain says.
Sure.
Uh-huh. If I'm president, treaties will have to fit in the back of a cereal box. From now on, the State of the Union address will be delivered in the form of a fortune cookie. I'm Herman Cain, and I don't like to read.
Yeah, well, Chris Wallace tried to throw that at John Stewart as well, because he did this Herman Cain voice. And Stewart did impressions of every single voice of every candidate, but they only played him doing the black guy's voice in the box. That's why Herman Cain's doing it.
Yeah.
And by the way, that tape was more cut up than the cast of Girl Interrupted.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is exciting. Michelle Bachman's going to announce on Monday.
Wait a minute. Da-da-da-da-da-da. She already debated. I thought she was...
Yeah, I don't know. The actual thing
she
is Monday.
Announced she was
in Waterloo, and which could be Michelle Bachman's Waterloo.
Oh.
Iowa. Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. It's going to be her and Romney tearing each other apart for a year. It's going to be beautiful.
And then the news I'm hearing is that Rick Perry is going to run.
I've heard that, too.
I heard he's going to get back together with the other guys in Journey.
Have you heard that? Politico says he might be gay. Hi, Newsbusters! So, you know, he's always talking about, he has such a great record on job creation. Actually, jobs...
He's from the facts.
Jobs grew at about the same rate during Ann Richards' 4 years as governor as they have under Perry. Texas is the leading nation in one employment metric, the number and percentage of minimum wage jobs. He has the most minimum wage jobs. Texas has by far the largest number of employees working at or below the federal minimum wage. And he relied more on the 2009 Recovery Act than any other governor and faced a $27 billion budget deficit for the 2012-13 budget after assuring everyone for months Texas had its fiscal health in order.
Man, do I hate the federal government. Oh, thanks for my check.
Yeah, exactly.
You're already winning, sir.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Gambling, what? Yeah, and I love this. There's a story about how nobody is mentioning he's the latest, like, bold, refreshing, courageous. Fresh and breath of fresh whatever. Something.
It's a breath of fresh hair.
Anyway, but so they do all these breathless articles. None of them mentions the whole, you know, session thing.
But see, the media loves him because he's interesting. These other guys are boring. It's like an Ambien commercial. That's why I'd love it if Trump was running.
He does have charisma.
The only reason that Huntsman got all this hype is because the media thinks he's that hot. Republicans find him kind of boring, and I think the independents will, too.
The Politico noted the governor oozes Texas swagger. And who wouldn't like that back in the White House? Remember how well that worked out?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I love when guys who talk about quitting America want to run America.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of former governors of Texas, I love this story. GOP magic trick, making Bush vanish. This is what I keep saying, how far to the right this party has gone. Republicans head into 2012 united in their disdain for an unpopular, big government-loving, internationalist president. The name of that president, George W. Bush.
Yep.
From Capitol Hill to the state houses to the presidential primary, Republicans are turning their back on almost every important accomplishment of the Bush administration. His attempt to reposition the GOP to the center-right has been rejected in favor of an unmodified brand of conservatism that would rather leave people alone than lift them up with armies of compassion. Many of Bush's distinctive policy ideas have fallen by the wayside, replaced by a nearly single-minded focus on reducing the size of government.
And if you're watching
he's
these
a
debates,
liberal now.
If you're watching these Republican debates, do not make Bush or Bin Laden your drinking game words. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, real quick before we go, Jim in Madison has a Barbie. Hi, Jim. What do you have?
I have trailer trash Barbie, which is just awesome. The little shorty shorts and the tied off shirt, all kinds of sayings like, my daddy says I'm a real good kisser.
Oh, all right. That's for us. We will see you tomorrow night, all the sexy liberals in Chicago. A few tickets. What? I'm not supposed to break now? Yes, I am.
You are.
A few tickets left. John Fugelstein, Hal Sparks, and I will see you there.
And how can they hear us on the radio at the Pride Parade on Sunday?
WCPT, our Chicago station, and we will be broadcasting at the Center for Halsted. It's at the Center on Halsted. Stop by and say hi. All right. We'll see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.